Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. I've got a special guest online today. I've got Josh Hinken, who's the creator of the Ultimate Sandbag and Dynamic Variable Resistance, which is the training programs that go along with the sandbags. But Josh, how's it going, man?
Oh, good, James. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I know you're a really busy guy, so appreciate you taking the time to jump on the podcast and share some info with us. And so just a real quick background, sandbags are one of those things, you probably hear this a lot. You know, I've seen sandbags, I've played around with sandbags before, but I have to admit that I didn't really appreciate what sandbags could do until I saw you doing a demo and putting them into action. And that's when some light bulbs really started going off for me and started clicking. And so, you know, we chatted and I got a couple sandbags and have been using them in my facility for the last few weeks and really liking them. The clients like them. And so I wanted to get you on because I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff with sandbags in the future on my blog and program. So I thought it'd be a good idea to get you on and share some of your insights into it. So, you know, real quick, just tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and how did you get into sandbag training?
Sure. Great to hear, by the way, that you guys are seeing some success. That's always the goal. You know, for me, it's a process of, you know, I was always interested in athletics. You know, basketball was my sport growing up. And I obviously wasn't a very good one because I had a host of really bad injuries along the way. And, you know, not knowing probably the science of training, I didn't realize how one sort of related to the other. So by the time I actually reached college, I actually had already herniated pretty badly a lumbar disc. And, you know, fortunately, you know, through, you know, working with some good therapists, I was able to play. And I always say, it's a long story, but I accidentally walked on to the Arizona State program when I was attending for a program in exercise science, because I didn't have any illusions that I was going to be a professional athlete, so I wanted to learn a lot about the sport, or the science of sport. And, you know, through the process, you know, through playing at ASU, I learned a lot of what not to do, but what to do as well. And unfortunately, during my playing years, I re-aggravated my disc to the point of I had to actually retire from playing because I temporarily lost use of my right leg. It's one of those situations, as I'm sure many people can relate, from either high school or college. You know, are you hurt or are you injured? It's what your coaches ask. And I just made my matter worse. But, you know, after you're retired, you still have the rest of your life to live. And I want to get back that blood. I've been so really involved with them. I didn't like the idea of not being able to function. So that was the first time I sort of really became adamant about trying to find information outside of maybe the formal school setting. And, you know, that was just the time the internet was really launching, and I happened to come across coaches like Charles Baldwin and Paul Check, who were the first sort of strength coach that got mainstream attention, I think. And basically I just took in everything, you know, these guys said, and if they ever talked about another person or another coach or program, I immediately went to that, and I wanted to learn everything about it because I was still in pretty bad pain at that time, and really wanted to bring myself back, more so even more than, you know, wanting to help clients at that point. So that really spawned a lot of the interest in you know, sort of health and corrective exercise and performance. And it sort of led me, like I said, along the lines of learning what not to do as much as what to do.
Nice, yeah. Well, that's I mentioned to you before, I like your story. I don't like that you ended up getting hurt and had to learn from that. But it's kind of similar to my story and a lot of those people that you mentioned. It's funny, man, because I remember that when Charles Poliquin started writing for Old Muscle Media 2000, and it's like, oh my God, what, dude? This guy's like, this is totally different than anything I've ever read in you know, muscle and fitness or flex before, man. Like this is awesome. So it's just. It's interesting hearing your story, because like I said, I ended up getting injured from athletics as well, and that's what kind of led me down this journey. So when you got into sandbag training, well, I guess how did you get introduced to sandbag training in the first place?
Well, it's definitely after all the programs I've mentioned, I don't want to make it sound like they don't work. Yeah, they just didn't work for me, and I know I worked at pretty high levels with a lot of these people. On a one-on-one basis, I still just was in pain and having problems progressing and actually, you know, getting back into lifting weights and being active. I just consistently had relapses, whether it be pain or not having the ability to function well and so forth. So I had a colleague of mine who was adamant about me checking out this guy, Pavel Zatsulin. He's back by 0102. And, you know, I did what probably I would tell most people not to do nowadays. I went online and looked at it. I just said, I just don't get it. You know, I don't get what this is. There's the whole kettlebell thing. And my friend at the time was just adamant about, well, you just don't worry about the kettlebell. You just got to check this guy out. You got to check this guy out. So I did what, you know, probably a lot of people can relate to in my program and I can understand is I got my first kettlebell and I tried to use it. I was like, what the hell am I doing? I was so lost that it just didn't look as smooth or to feel what I was watching. So I took, you know, I did what, you know, my philosophy was always try to learn from a horse's mouth. So I went and took the course back in 03. And what I got from it was not necessarily the kettlebell, but Pavel's, you know, process of movement and how he taught movement, how he taught how to, you know, move and load the body more appropriately. And it was the first time I had found any type of relief just from my back. So I of course, you know, asked Pablo, I'm like, this is exciting, you know, how do I learn more about this philosophy and what you do and where you got this from? He said, well, you know, you got to read the old stuff. And I said, well, what, stuff from like the 70s and the 80s? And he was like, no, you got to read stuff from like 1910 and 1920. I'm like, well, that's why it's not too readily available, but heck, at the age of the internet, we can find it. And so, you know, I went online and tried to find a lot of books, at least, you know, a description of what old-time strongmen did, because it was amazing. What I really appreciate about old-time strongmen wasn't purely what they lifted, it was the fact they were able to lift great weights, but move with such grace and athleticism at the same time. So it wasn't the idea of, like, you know, maybe what a lot of people think of as a powerlifter was lift great weight, but you couldn't see them running down the street anytime in the near future. You know, these were guys that, you know, could do handstands and do gymnastics just as much as they could outlift you in the weight room. But unfortunately, though, I think one of the biggest myths is that there was some, like, unified old-school strongman training system there. And the one thing that I got out of it was that all these guys were doing very different things, and it was really hard to find too many commonalities. And because it was way before the age of the internet or cell phones, it wasn't as though these guys were Facebooking to each other, telling you what they were doing, or on, you know, strongman forums and, you know, trying to figure out the best, you know, training philosophy. It was just that they all had their own sort of entities, but one commonality I found, they all seemed to talk about one form or another lifting odd objects. And that was really interesting to me. And they looked maybe like barrels and pigs and awkward bags and animals. And so, you know, as I read more, the only thing that seemed really doable and really something I felt comfortable approaching was sandbag. It seemed like a lot of them had utilized this idea of sandbag, and they all had sort of a similar philosophy of something that moved and shifted. It made a lot of sense because of it, and, you know, with what I've heard in corrective exercise, the body stabilizers and core function and so forth. So it wasn't something like completely odd and wacky. However, it was something that was quite outside the box of anything I had been doing or had read about in the past. So that was my first introduction to actually using sandbags. I did what most people did. I got my old duffel bag out, filled up some garbage bags and duct tape, and put all to use. And it was, you know, the one thing I remember is the first time I lifted it, was the first time I sat there and I said, you know what, this is not like something else. And I think a lot of times, you know, James, I know you've been in this industry for a while, you know, when a new tool comes out or something like that, they try to relate it to something that you're already familiar with. You know, the whole thing with kettlebells was, well, it's kind of like a dumbbell, you know, type of thing. And, you know, with the sandbag, you can't really say it's like anything else because the feel and the movement and the shape and the dimension of it is just kind of something unique on its own. So that's where we started the whole thought process of what could sandbag training really.
Nice. So you pretty much knew right off the bat that sandbags were more than just a way to try to, you know, recreate the same old exercise, that there was something, you know, unique to what they had to offer?
Well, I mean, at first, I'll admit, you know, I was probably like, you know, I think that most people are now, you know, I did try to replicate probably the more common barbell list because that was my frame of reference.
Right, yeah.
With a lot of stuff. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, even if it was just to add some instability to your plastic lifts, wow, that has, like, a tremendous value. And I thought that was really going to be the extent of it because, you know, the homemade sandbags, you know, caused also sort of, you know, didn't allow for a lot of the progressions of variety or the thought process to really come out because they presented so many problems. You know, those problems being, like, they're extremely nasty. They weren't, you weren't able to change the load. They weren't very progressive because You know, I look around my gym, and I'll do, you have a gym, and there's nothing that I have in my gym that wasn't designed for its use in strength and conditioning. And it's kind of like, I think, an analogy, now looking back on how silly that is, because I can't think of another industry where they use tools that aren't designed for what they're going to use it for. I mean, can you imagine, like, a contractor going to build your house, and they're pulling out homemade tools or things that they got that, you know, they sort of made at home that really aren't made to support this or that, or, you know, a doctor who brought his homemade tools in to do surgery with, you know. It sounds kind of funny when we put those terms, but something, I think as fitness professionals, we've sort of got, you know, oddly accepted that, and so that presented a lot of problems. So I almost halted the whole sandbag idea because, you know, just for those reasons of not being progressive, not being that versatile, being dirty, you know, being hard for people to learn, and not being very accommodating. So it definitely presented some issues at first, and I almost gave up on the idea completely.
Oh, right on. So what, I guess what kind of spurred you to continue the quest then?
Well, actually, funny enough, I was, you know, I had written an e-book back in 2005 about sandbag training, because I thought there was, you know, at the time, even if you just used it to do some different styles of the types of lifts, had some value. And I had come across a gentleman who basically, you know, I got a discussion that you and I are having right now, and I told him how I was getting a little bit, you know, dismayed by the fact that I thought sandbags were going to be something maybe I'd use myself, or I'd use with maybe some of my hard-edge clients that really were into it, but never as far as a mainstream tool. And he said, well, you know, what were the problems that I foresaw? And, you know, I told him the same story, and he said, well, what if I could get you with someone that could design and create you the bag that you'd want to use with clients? You know, I think as a coach, you're really excited. I mean, because typically we accommodate our programs to fit the tools that we see and that we have, and we don't get a lot of that freedom to create, you know, whatever we want. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had no idea about manufacturing. Probably was green as anybody, and, you know, learned a lot of hard lessons along the way, but at least it gave me the idea when I actually got the first prototype that, you know, some colleagues and friends of mine were like, hey, I want one too. You know, it gave me interest. I was like, huh, maybe there's something to this as far as maybe this is a way to get this form of training more accepted and have more value to clients. And of course, you know, like, you know, you and I were talking a little bit before on the call today, you know, our training facility, our clients and myself were our testing ground, and using it every day with them really started to show and sort of almost stumble across, you know, the benefits that were possible, because, you know, I did try to find through a variety of different books anything that showed any type of cohesive standback system, you know, any way of, like, how do you implement, how do you progress, and absolutely no one had anything like that. Now, people had maybe read about certain exercises and they liked use, or, you know, that were great exercises for this and that, but no one had put together a system. So I thought that was something we really needed to start investigating and thinking as coaches, because if you know, you're going successfully, you really have a system behind it. And I really wanted it not to be about standbag lifting, but a training system that coaches or end users could really use and appreciate.
Nice, yeah. Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you. What kind of spurred you into creating your own sandbag? So basically, you figured somebody needed to make a better mouse trap, and it may as well be you, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was completely by accident, and you know, it's one of those situations that, like, when people hear me say, you know, I just did an article for a major fitness magazine, and they were wanting to have some benefit to homemade sandbags. I'm trying to make them understand, like, I've been down that road. I can tell you, there is no benefit.
Yeah.
If there wasn't, I'd still be using them. I probably wouldn't have gone down this road because it wasn't an easy one, and it probably wouldn't have dawned on me to even think about changing something, because, like I said, it wasn't as though having homemade sandbags was necessarily a new idea. You know, I didn't invent the idea of sandbags. It was just the idea that maybe we should try to do more with them than just sort of, you know, pick them up and put them down, or cut them overhead and put them down, and, you know, that there was something more there to offer than what we had so far about in the past. And so, you know, I think, you know, being able to control some of the factors and variables that we weren't able to in the past really opened up so many exciting doors for us, especially as coaches and help our clients.
Yeah, nice. So what are two or three of the unique benefits that you see from sandbag training? You know, like we'd mentioned before, there are some unique things that, you know, beyond just unique ways to do the same old exercises. So what are, you know, what are some of the unique benefits from sandbag training that you can't really get from other training tools?
I think one is the amount of options you have within your training system. For example, most people become very weight centric. You know, they as an industry, we become very weight focused. You know, how much do you bench? How much do you deadlift? How much do you squat? How many pull-ups do? Things like that. With the sandbags, you can alter the challenge of the movement by not just weight, but basically where you hold the implement relationship to your body. So if I hold it, for example, in front of my body versus off the shoulder versus horizontally versus vertically on my body, and there's about 9 to 10 other positions, I can create a whole different training environment, a whole different movement, just because of how I'm holding the weight in relation to my body. And, there's really no other implement that we put that type of program into. Most times, if you look at, like, say, a dumbbell, what people will hold it by their side, maybe they'll hold it up to the shoulder, maybe they'll hold overhead. And so I think a lot of times people become apathetic or maybe just unaware of really how many options they have in their programs. Another, probably benefit is the fact that you can teach a lot of the exercises in such a progressive manner. Again, meaning I can make a squat into a corrective exercise, or I can make it a high performance by just changing, the stability of the bag, where it's placed in relationship to your body, the dimensions of the bag, and so forth. So again, it provides us more options than like a progressive exercise program. And then I think lastly is just the fact that you have, the ability to train patterns and positions and postures that just aren't possible in other implements. I mean, you and I were talking about the rotational lunge, for example, and it's funny, the next slide that I see more and more companies trying to copy, but they don't understand that it's a unique deal with the bag because you have to have an implement that moves within the actual exercise of itself. If it's a more static weight, you don't get the same training effect. So the actual design and nature of the sandbag itself lends itself to being more favorable in some of these unique exercises as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. In fact, I did a video post on my blog a couple days ago on the rotational lunge, calling it the best lower body mountain bike specific exercise that, people have probably never heard of. And it's made my must do exercise list, which is not an easy list to crack, to be honest with you. But, like I mentioned to you when I after I saw you demo it, just the nature of the exercise and how you're, stepping back into a split stance and having to, stand up using, single leg, very, very hip driven movement while the bag is rotating around the body. So you're having to stabilize. It's just such a unique exercise, that, like I mentioned before, I mean, I think investing in a sandbag for that exercise alone is worth it, beyond just all the other things that you can do with it. But yeah, as soon as I posted, I started getting the questions, why can't you just use a medicine ball or, something like that? And it is hard to explain, the sandbag moving around and the dimensions of it. And plus, just, something I've found real helpful is just that it can crash into your body and it doesn't hurt. You can't do that with a kettlebell. A dumbbells or, medicine ball is a little, ungainly. You got to watch, but just the fact that you can, let the bag fly during some of those, the scooping or shoveling, like the dynamic rotational deadlift, like that's another exercise using the bag that I just don't see how you could possibly recreate that with another training tool. And it's there's just such great benefit to it. I totally agree with you there. What are some tips that you'd have to someone who's just starting out getting into sandbag training?
There's probably a couple of things. One is understanding the intent of the movement. Unfortunately, I was just trying to, it's kind of funny. Our program really sort of is attractive to so many different populations. Here I am talking to you about, how it can relate to mountain biking and outdoor sports. And earlier today, I was talking to Muay Thai kickboxing schools. So it's one of those things where I think a lot of people, because of what it is, don't understand that there's specific intents behind the movements and which sandbags that you're utilizing. For example, most people never consider that the role dimension plays in the exercise that they're performing, meaning that, we have three sizes of bags, and most people would say, well, that's logically a small, medium, large because of a weight thing. But it's not just a weight concept, it's a stability concept one is basically understanding that sandbags don't have to always be unstable. One big thing I always find a lot of coaches on is traditionally when people think of sandbags and you ask them about it, they think of something that shifts and moves a lot. And in sandbag training, really that's a variable that you may have. For example, again, if I have a lot of complex mind position movement going on, i.e. like let's say a split lunge or a single leg deadlift or something like that, I'm not going to want to have initially a bag that moves and shifts a lot because I have this, you know, body position that I'm trying to control as well. So I'm going to want to make more compact and more stable. Conversely, if I'm doing something where I'm in a more stable body position, let's say a clean or squat or press, I could, you know, play with the nature of the instability of the sandbag more so because I'm in a more stable body position. And when you start combining those factors together, that's what when you come up with what we call exercise complexity. So you can see there's probably a lot more levels to it that a lot of people appreciate. So I think it's people understanding, you know, the essence of what are they trying to accomplish, why are they using it versus, like you said, other, you know, training implements, because we're very adamant about the fact that, you know, we don't like to say a tool is just a tool, because, you know, a saw and a hammer are both tools, but they're used dramatically different. If you try to use one like you use the other, you don't get the desired effect. So I think it's people understanding that there's, you know, definitely a specific purpose that people are trying to have with it, and understanding basically where to start. We usually recommend people, you know, being able to work with a more controlled and a smaller sandbag because you can do more with it. You know, as the bags get bigger and they become more unstable, you tend to be able to do less with it. So, you know, if people are a little bit more on the movement side of things, that's how we sort of start to encourage them to get familiar with the bags before they start dealing with this unwieldy, unstable implement. That makes sense, but that's
a little... No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's funny because hearing you talk, I mean, obviously you've learned how to apply this stuff to sandbags, but I mean, a lot of your advice is just good advice, period. You know, it doesn't matter if you're using sandbags or not, like knowing the purpose behind the exercise and what you're doing, and then not just trying to do the hardest thing you possibly can right out of the gate, and understanding how to progress, you know, the hardness of stuff is important. So no, really good advice, and you know, especially when you're getting into something like sandbags that you know, people probably don't have a lot of familiarity with. That's especially good advice, so you don't just start doing a bunch of random stuff, and next thing you know, you're doing a CrossFit workout. So,
I think too, just the people that unfortunately the implement of the program gets a bad name, but just people didn't really understand what they were trying to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, I try to tell people, you know, I go to conferences and so forth, and someone will come up next to me and they'll tap me on the shoulder, and I know they have a good part about it. They're like, hey, Josh, I just started using sandbags, isn't that great? And I'm like, to me, I'm more interested in why are you starting to use it? You know, where are you doing with it? How is it helping you? Because, you know, I do conferences all over the world, and, you know, when I ask coaches, you know, why do you use, it doesn't have to be sandbags, it's just exercise.
Right.
It's just asking to me how many people can't tell me.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say something like, it develops more power. Well, you're going to tell me riding a mountain bike and going through the trails the same as being in an octagon as far as developing power and, you know, position and stuff like that. That's kind of, you know, ignorant to say, I would think. So I think we need to, you know, have a little more rationale to why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, man. Completely agree. So... Well, excellent. Well, anyone who wants to learn more about the Ultimate Sandbag and your dynamic variable resistance programs, where is the best place to find Chad Hinken?
You can go to our website. It's dvrtfitness.com. Or you can go to the same website, ultimatesandbagtrain.com. We have a blog that we update 2-3 times a week. We have almost 400 free YouTube videos. Our YouTube name is Sandbag Fitness, where we go over, we either break down exercise technique and instructions, or we show you some ways that you can actually implement the bags as a standalone tool or with other different training tools. Like you said, you know, for us, more about, you know, principles and more than it is about implement. So we show you how, you know, how they sort of blend with some of the more popular tools like suspension training and kettlebells and body weight. So people can definitely go there and you can check out our certification schedule. That's being updated all the time. If they want to contact us, they can feel free to contact us at info@ultimatesandbagtraining.com.
Excellent. And I know you're active on Facebook as well. So, what, just look up Ultimate Sandbag, Ultimate Sandbag Training?
If people look up Ultimate Sandbag Training, they'll be able to find us. We have a fan page. And like I said, we do a ton any new material. We have a free manual they can download if they become a fan on the page.
Excellent.
Our major goal is to get information, education out there. They can ask questions. We just launched some speed coaching, so if it's something where people want to come in and ask questions, and maybe they want to, you know, find out more before they invest, or maybe they have them and they want to know how to do more with them, we're always happy to answer questions.
Yeah, excellent. No, you got a good Facebook page. In fact, you posted this great article from this mountain bike guy the other day on there. I found it pretty informative.
We like to promote good material. So.
Right on, man. Well, excellent, Josh. Well, that's about it for the questions I got right now. I mean, I know as I get more into sandbag training, I'll probably have some more and love to get you on the phone again here in the future and you know, share some more info, maybe getting more specific exercises and their applications and stuff like that. But before I let you go, anything else you got for us?
I really appreciate it. And, for us, it's really exciting to have people like yourself, you know, using it in kind of an application that we haven't had too much time to experiment with. So it's great for us to get your feedback and see how you're going to evolve into something really unique for the mountain bike community.
Yeah, excellent. Well, right on. Well, cool, Joshua. I really appreciate your time. And I guess that's going to be it for today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, James. Take care.
Yeah, no problem. And once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You can check me out on the web at bikejames.com. I'll talk to everybody next time.